becomes popular every now and again. Well, maybe I shouldn't say popular. You know, at least heard often enough. It never kind of reaches that status where it becomes the thing to say. But it becomes relatively popular to think at certain times that we don't need the promise of heaven to do good. Have any of you ever heard that? Some of you. Have any of you ever thought that? Some of you. Yeah. That we don't need the promise of heaven to do good. And in fact, sometimes it's not even just a neutral statement that says, you know, you may do good works for the promise of heaven, but I don't. Sometimes it's actually a negative in that you only do good because you believe that you're going to receive the reward of heaven. It's kind of putting it negatively in a sense. And this has ways to work in and out and through our culture in a way that is often subtle. That we do desire to do good, and as Christians, we believe in heaven. Is it that we are to keep those separate, or are they intricately linked? In a very real way, to say that one does not desire heaven, or one is not working towards heaven, or really preparing our hearts to say yes to heaven, that to say that is as reasonable something to say as a child in the womb declaring that they have no desire to see their mother's face. That's as reasonable or logical as it is for a Christian to say, I don't really do anything. Heaven doesn't really particularly interest me. It has been said in many different circumstances that we are birthed into heaven, that our death is a second birth in a sense, that just as much of a dramatic expansion of everything that the child in the womb knows as it enters into the fullness of the world, we can expect just as much and infinitely more as we are birthed into eternal life. What awaits us is unimaginable as the outside world is to a child in its mother's womb. Paul is admonishing us today to remember that this world is passing away, that it too is suffering a death, but that that death has a resurrection. That's the good news, that all that we know is true and good and beautiful and meant to be part of eternity forever. Heaven truly simply is just walking with God in the garden, a plan that was thwarted by sin, and Christ came to prepare and to heal those wounds. That we are made for heaven. This idea that we are made for heaven, that we long for heaven, is characterized by a little Greek word. You may remember this word from bulletin articles of months past. A little word, halos. It is what we are made for. And when we say that we don't long for heaven, it's as much as saying a chair isn't meant for sitting. We are made for heaven. And when we realize that the things of this world are passing away, then we can live a different kind of life, no longer attached to the things of this world. Paul, as he often does, is a little zealous in his letter. to the Corinthians today. He's early in his ministry. He is certain that Christ's return is just moments away, that he is imminent. He's right there, that this world is not only passing away, but that it is in its last breaths. Whether or not the world is currently in its last breaths is another question. But Paul began to realize, the longer he was alive, that, well, Christ might not be coming right away. So by the time that Paul gets to writing the letter to the Romans, he's tempered this talk a little bit, but he hasn't left it behind. He recognizes that the things of this world can call us to a different type of attachment. And he's suggesting to us, he's calling us to let go of those things so that we may be free to accept the glory of heaven. In our first reading, the prophet Jonah is walking through Nineveh. In this declaration that there is something greater, something new, and that we must repent, causes the people of Nineveh to do just that. They let go of their material things. They follow a new way of life, at least for a moment, if not for the rest of their own life, to accept this admonition to let go of the things of the world. We see this, too, in our gospel today when Jesus approaches these two pair of fishermen and tells them to follow him. They do. James and John even leave their father Zebedee and the hired men. Don't feel too bad for Zebedee. He's got help. He's got the hired men there left to help him run his business. But James and John, Simon and Andrew, they all leave everything they know and realize how far it takes them all across the world to places they never would have actually gone, proclaiming the glory of God and that we are made for something more, that they leave everything they know and follow after Christ. We are called in a similar way to hope for eternal life, to live for eternal life, to recognize that heaven isn't our reward, it is what we are made for. It's not a good job doing all of that other stuff. Now you get to do this. It's actually what we've been created to do, to live eternally with God. Let us live our lives recognizing that this world, as beautiful as it can be and as difficult as it often is passing away. Don't hold too tightly to it.